Profesor y director de innovación, Richard Brown.
La clave de nuestro método online es la motivación. Hemos diseñado un curso que realmente engancha en cada nivel, te motiva y reta para que avances de nivel. Pero la verdadera clave son los profesores Vaughan. Su método de enseñanza es lo que realmente nos diferencia. Los cursos online Vaughan cuentan con los mismos profesores apasionados que desde hace más de 40 años nos han hecho diferentes. Descubre las ventajas de nuestro método online probándolo. Así que os invito a entrar en grupovaughan.com y poneros a prueba.
Si tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
Vaughan Radio Madrid, 100.4 FM.
Esta es La Hora Extra, con Richard Vaughan.
Hello and welcome. Yes, welcome to a new edition of The Extra Hour, Tuesday evening. It's a good evening to study English. And today I'm going to, at least in the first half hour, I'm going to go back to the never-ending story, my never-ending attempt, intento sin, how do you say, sin fin, my never-ending attempt to help Spanish speakers learn to express the S followed by a consonant, Spain. I speak Spanish. I speak Spanish. Yes, Bruce Springsteen speaks Spanish. Bruce Springsteen speaks Spanish. Can you say that? The people on Wall Street speak Spanish. La gente en Wall Street speak Spanish. All right. Now, the people on Wall Street, Times Square, the people on Wall Street speak Spanish. Okay, scale. On what scale? Scale has una escala. On a scale of 1 to 10, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's the quality of the Vaughan teachers? 9 and 10. Yes, on a scale of 1 to 10, Vaughan teachers are quality 9 or quality 10. And on a scale of 1 to 10, what's the average quality of English teachers around the world? 4. Wow. Vaughan English teachers are tremendously better than others. And the only English teachers of quality 9 and 10 out there that are not in Vaughan are ex-Vaughan. Ex-Vaughan. So scale, on a scale, scale. Scale also means bascula. So a scale. The scale of justice. Yes, una balanza. The scale. But we use it on a large scale. On a large scale, grande, gran escala. Large scale, scale, scale. A scam. What's a scam? A scam is a shady business. It's a business that, it's a scam, a total scam. For example, do you remember Forum Filatelico? Do you remember Afinsa? Those were scams. Yes, total scams. Let's see what they say in word reference for scam. S-C-A-M, a very simple word, scam. Scam means an illicit or illegitimate business or offer. It's a scam. Estafa timo fraude. We'll see. It's a scam. All right, so yes. The Timo de la Stampita, it's a scam. Yes, scams on a large scale. There's this large-scale scam. Yes, a large-scale Spanish scam. Can you say that? Una estafa española a gran escala. A large-scale Spanish scam. Can you say that? Sin insertar la letra E en medio. Large scale Spanish scam. It's interesting how you can't avoid that. It's really new teachers who come to Spain I don't understand it. And said, why do you say Spanish? Okay? They don't understand it. Until they realize that in the Spanish language, every single word that has an S-P, S-T, S-W, S-N, always start with the letter E. So from the time they are born, they hear and say E in front of anything. And it's a natural physical habit that they can't break. They can't break that habit. So it's like teaching a person to change a physical habit. You know, instead of scratching your face with your right hand, you scratch only with your left. They just don't remember. They naturally scratch with their... A right-handed person naturally scratches his face with his right hand. And if you prohibit it, well, it takes time. Or never. But in any case, scales. And to scan. Scan. It's interesting. Un scan. Un scan. Voy a escanear. Se ha creado la palabra en español y se ha añadido la E. Escanear. Vamos a escanear. Vamos a hacer un scan. All right, we're going to... A scan. Scanner. A scanner. A CAT scan. Yes. In medical terms, a scan. So to scan means to look at in a broad way. Escanear. You know, you've created the verb as well. To scan. Ojear, dice aquí. Otear. Claro, otear, sí. Un horizonte. To scan the horizon. To visually examine. Echar un vistazo, echar una mirada, examinar, to scan. Y luego, escanear un documento, to scan a document. How many documents have you scanned this week? I haven't scanned any so far this week. Well, how often do you scan documents? Not too often. I scan documents maybe, I don't know, once a month. At the most, twice a month. I don't need to scan documents very often. To scan. Have you ever undergone a CAT scan? Yes, but a long time ago. Well, what's a CAT scan? Un tuck. What does T? How do you spell tuck? T-A-C. What does it stand for? What does T-A-C stand for? Tomografía axial computerizada. All right. That's interesting. Computerizada doesn't sound very Castilian Spanish. It sounds Latin American. A CAT scan. Have you ever undergone a CAT scan? You know, I'm not sure if I have. Resonance, yes. Resonancia. But I'm not sure if I've undergone a CAT scan. I'm not sure. But it doesn't matter. All right. Scandal. Have you ever been involved in a scandal? No, I haven't. Not yet. I've never been involved in a scandal. Have you ever done anything scandalous? Yes, I have. Well, if you've done something scandalous, then you've been involved in a scandal. No, you can do scandalous things and not be involved in a scandal if nobody finds out. If nobody finds out, if nobody finds out, si nadie se entera, if nobody finds out, you can do scandalous things. So you've done scandalous things. Well, haven't you? I hope so. I hope you've done scandalous things in your life. If not, it's kind of boring. A scandal. I've never been in a... Have you ever been scandalized? No. No. I'm not that type of person. I'm not that type of person to be scandalized by things. I can be disappointed, I can be irritated or asqueado. I don't know how to say that. Something that is repugnant. It's interesting, the verb the adjective asqueado. I mean, I don't know how to say that. Disgusted, nauseated, disgusted. That's it. Qué asco, repugnado. Disgusted. Yeah, sick to my stomach. Eso se dice bastante. Sick to my stomach. We say sick too, strangely. Although sick at my stomach. Nah, sick to the stomach. Sick to my stomach means asqueado. I felt sick to my stomach. It's also physical. It could be mareado con náuseas. Sick to my stomach. So we use it both physically and figuratively. Interesting. But asqueado. But scandalized, never. Yes. Scandalized. Yes. Scandalized. The definition is to be shocked by something disgraceful or immoral. Okay. To be shocked by something disgraceful or immoral. Okay, disgraceful no es desgracia. Cuidado, es un falso amigo. Disgraceful means vergonzoso. Of course, immoral. Doble M in English, eh? No, inmoral, no, immoral. Immoral. Now, I'm not shocked by things that are disgraceful or moral. I'm not irritated either. I just don't care. I don't pay attention to it because I know it exists in the world. So I've never been scandalized. The expression is, tú escandalizada. I think that sounds a bit affected to me when people say that. Tú escandalizado. When I hear a person use that adjective, I get the impression, rightfully or wrongfully, that that person is a bit arrogant, a bit stuck up. You know, a bit arrogant, self-important, high and mighty, pompous, conceited, big-headed, proud, huffy, superior, domineering, overbearing, snooty. I love snooty. All right. When somebody says, estoy escandalizada, normalmente lo digo en femenino, because I hear this more from females, from women. But it doesn't matter. When I hear somebody say, estoy escandalizada, usually the impression is the person is a bit high and mighty. High and mighty? What does that mean? High and mighty, interesting expression. Alto y poderoso. Pero es, it doesn't mean alto y poderoso, really. It means se cree alto y poderoso. High and mighty. En español, a ver lo que dice en español. High and mighty. High and mighty. Mighty means poderoso, eh? Mighty Mouse. Super Ratón. Here he comes to save the day. Mighty Mouse is on his way. High and mighty. It's an interesting expression. It means proud, soberbio, arrogante, petulante, engreído. So, and that's what it means. So scandalized, scandal. I've never been involved in a scandal yet. But people are not interested. The paparazzi are not interested in me because I don't spend time out in social circles. I'm a homebody. Soy muy casero. I'm a homebody, so I don't... I've done scandalous things in my life. Quite a few. But I don't do it in Spain, for example. All right? So it's... nobody is a prophet in their own land. So it's better, scandalous, Scandinavian countries. How many countries make up Scandinavia? It's an interesting word, Scandinavia. I wonder if it's originally Swedish, Danish, or Norwegian. There are four countries. Scandinavia is officially four countries. Sweden, Norway, Denmark, and Iceland. They share a lot of common traits in their DNA, ADN, and also language, linguistic closeness. It's quite close, linguistically. Now, Finland is almost always included as a Scandinavian country. because of its liberal democratic approach and many other reasons. However, they're very different. The Finnish language is very different from the other Scandinavian languages. It's not at all completely different. And the DNA, the Finnish people, are a different type of people as well. But historically, because of their proximity and the influence of the Scandinavian countries, well, people correctly probably consider Finland as the fifth Scandinavian country. But it's interesting, if you go into Google and ask the question, is Finland a Scandinavian country? A direct question. Let's see. In English usage, the term Scandinavia is sometimes used as a synonym for Nordic countries. Nordic countries, the term is used unambiguously for Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Finland, and Iceland, including their associated territories. All right. Is Finland part of Scandinavia? Let's see. Another. Why Finland often gets left out when people talk about Scandinavia? All right. For the last 2 years, Finland... I can't find... belongs to... top honor belongs to Finland, yet again, etc., etc., etc. I can't find what I want. Okay, to answer the question, Finland is part of Scandinavia. All right. But to make sure, you've got to do a bit of digging into the country's geography, the history of the region, the languages spoken, and the shifting politics. All right. So, the article's too long. Finland is not officially, in my opinion, part of Scandinavia. However, it's included because of the, I repeat, geographical proximity, similarity in habits, and democratic regime, etc. Finland has always had a problem of its sharing a long, very long common border with Russia. And so the Finnish have always wanted to a certain extent, be included together. But here's some answers. Is Finland part of Scandinavia or not? Geographically, Finland could be considered Scandinavian, and at one time was part of the Swedish kingdom. Most Finns are Lutherans, as Scandinavians used to be. However, Finnish is not a Scandinavian language, and Finns are ethnically different from Scandinavians. All right. According to some Finns that I know, Finland is not part of Scandinavia. So, the Finnish don't feel... That's an interesting question. Do the Finnish... Those Finnes, los Finnes... Do the Finnish consider themselves Scandinavians? Scandinavian? It's an interesting question for me. I don't think it's interesting for you. But in any case. All right. Geographically, Finland could be considered Scandinavian and used to be part of the Swedish kingdom. Most Finns are Lutherans. However, Finnish is not a Scandinavian language, etc., etc. The answers are too long and not direct. All right. But here's an interesting answer by a man born in the north of the Arctic Circle. Few people in Scandinavia would describe or think of themselves as being Scandinavian. This is mainly an Anglo-Saxon term. People in Sweden, Finland, Norway, Denmark, Iceland, etc., mainly use the term the Nordic countries, Nordic culture. That's interesting. Finland is an integral part of the Nordic countries. Okay. So, Nordic, don't say Scandinavian, but I like the word. I like the word Scandinavia. Yes. And besides, they use it. There's a company called Scandia. There's another company called Scania. They use it a lot. Scan. Scar. Scars are scarce. Is that right? Yeah, scars are scarce. ¿Puedes decir esa frase? Las cicatrices son escasas. Is a scar masculine or feminine? Let's see. Cicatriz. I think it's feminine. But just a second. Let's see. Cicatriz. In Spanish. Let's see. Nombre femenino. Yes, it's for la cicatriz. So, you see, I need to check these things sometimes. Still, after 47 years speaking in Spanish, I still need to check certain words. So, scars. Las cicatrices son escasas. ¿Puedes decir esa frase? Sin insertar la letra E. Scars are scarce. Scars are scarce. Why are scars scarce? Why are scars scarce? Can you say that? ¿Por qué son escasas las cicatrices? Why are scars scarce? Scarce means escaso, que no hay mucho. Very scarce. Scarcity, escasez. Hay una escasez de escoceses. There's a scarcity of Scots. There's a scarcity of Scots in Granada. Really? Well, there, as far as I know, there are only 10 Scots living in Granada. So clearly there's a scarcity of Scots in Granada. Escasez de escoceses. You know, this expression, escasez de escoceses, I practiced it when I was 21 years old to practice la C castellana y la Z castellana con el sonido de ceceo. Because in Mexico, they would say, hay una escasez de escoceses, with the sound of an S. There's a scarcity of Scots in Scotland. Is there a scarcity of Scots in Scotland? There could be a scarcity of Scots in Scotland. Well, how many Scottish people are there in Scotland? Well, what's the population of Scotland? I don't know. But I would guess, come on, make a guess, an educated guess. All right, let's see. Now, in the UK, which includes England, Scotland, Northern Ireland, and Wales, the population is around 67 million people. I think the vast majority of the people live in England, because England has very big cities like London, Birmingham, Manchester, Liverpool, Bradford, Leeds, Newcastle, and many, many more. Bristol and Lancaster. But in Scotland, we have Edinburgh and Glasgow. But the rest are relatively small. Stirling is small. Perth is small. Peebles is small. Aberdeen is relatively small. I'm trying to think of the city at the beginning of the Loch Ness. I can't remember the name of it. But I'm going to make an educated guess. I would say the population of Scotland is 12 million people. Let's see. Scotland. All right, Scotland. Population. Let's see. Where is the population? Religion. Formation. Government. GDP. Where does it say population? Largest city, Glasgow. Capital, Edinburgh. It doesn't say. Hold on. formation, land, population. Finally, how is it possible I don't see these things? All right, population. My God, the population of Scotland is 5.5 million people. I said 12. I was way off. Fíjate cómo se usa la palabra way. Muy alejado de la verdad. Way off. O-F-F. I was way off. The population of Scotland is very low. I'm surprised. Very, very low. The capital, the biggest city is Glasgow. The population of Glasgow, the metropolitan area, is 1.8 million, almost 2 million. Okay. The population of Edinburgh, which is quite a bit smaller, I believe. I've been to Edinburgh many times. Never been to Glasgow. I've passed around it by car. 500,000. The metropolitan area, 1 million. So I would say the vast majority of the people in Scotland live in Edinburgh. Or in Glasgow, Greater Edinburgh, or in Greater Glasgow. All right, I have to take a break. I'll be right back.
This is Fitz. I want to talk to you about the Curso de Inglés Online de Vaughan. €99 for 1 year of classes. You can spread the €99 over 3 months. It's 30 cents per day. All the Vaughan favourites are in there. Richard Vaughan, Richard Brown, Jimena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso. Curso de Inglés Online, Vaughan.com.
Pásate a vernos a la tienda de Vaughan. Sí, ya está abierta. Ven y nosotros te asesoraremos con el material que te puede ayudar a mejorar tu inglés. Con libros especializados en speaking, listening, grammar, vocabulary. Si quieres, te podemos hacer directamente un plan de estudio para que lo puedas hacer en tu casa. Y mejorar esas pequeñas cositas del inglés que tanto te cuestan con los mejores libros de enseñanza de inglés del mercado. No, no exageramos. Tenemos los mejores libros. Ven a comprobarlo a la tienda de Vaughan. Estamos en Madrid, en la calle Orense 75, esquina con Sor Ángela de la Cruz. De lunes a jueves de 10 a 6 y media y los viernes hasta las 5 y media. Y si vives fuera de Madrid o prefieres contactar con nosotros por teléfono, llámanos al 91-445-5844. La tienda Vaughan. Te asesoramos en lo que necesites.
Haz una pausa y disfruta. Mejorando. Aprendiendo con tu curso trimestral por videoconferencia. Con todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Por fin llega tu mejor momento del día. Cursos trimestrales por videoconferencia. Haz tu reserva en el 91-133-5833. 91-133-5833.
Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan, desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los tres planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo. Horario de mañana o tarde. Prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres? Nosotros no podemos darte más facilidades. Ahora te toca a ti. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate sobre nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia.
Lo que más miedo da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso Vaughan ha desarrollado las clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%. Contrata las clases telefónicas de inglés de Vaughan para tu empresa. Llama al 91-133-5831 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
El Club Atlético de Madrid, junto con Baugan, ha creado un campamento de verano donde tus hijos disfrutarán jugando al fútbol mientras aprenden inglés. Dirigido a niños y niñas de entre 8 y 15 años, en grupos de aproximadamente 10 niños por monitor. Fechas, tienes para elegir, del 18 al 24 de julio o del 25 al 31 de julio, como prefieras. Los entrenamientos tendrán lugar en las modernas instalaciones del Centro Deportivo Wanda Alcalá de Henares, sede de la Academia del Atlético de Madrid. Y el alojamiento será en habitaciones individuales con baño privado en el Colegio Mayor Aquinas, en la ciudad universitaria de Madrid. Ven a aprender inglés con el campeón de liga, el Atlético de Madrid, y el campeón del inglés, Baugan. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate. Inglés y fútbol con Baugan y el Atleti.
Contact us now for a free level test and get started on your trimestrales right away. Your English adventure awaits. Trimestrales de Baugan.
Extra con Richard Baugan.
Hello and welcome back. All right, our second half hour of today's Tuesday edition of the Extra Hour, 10:30 at night. Shall we continue? I'm working on the SC, the SP, the SL. Don't slam the door. Don't slam the door. To slam the door is cerrar una puerta de un portazo. Slam. To slam the door shut. He slammed the door shut. Of course, you can't slam the door open, but we say it sometimes. To slam the door is to close it very violently. Boom. Of course, you always close it. You never open the door when you use the verb to slam. To slam the door. But sometimes we say to slam the door shut. Okay. It's a bit redundant, but we say it. We say to slam the door shut. Here in Spain, people say, voy a subir arriba, which is totally redundant, but people say it all the time. Bajar abajo, subir arriba. All right. I'm going to go up. All right. To slam. But slam means to hit very, very hard. Slam. For example, in tennis, you have the slam. Un slam. You say un slam con una E descarada delante. A slam. A slam. Now, a slam dunk is in basketball. You know, the dunk. To dunk, how do you say to dunk? In cestar? But to stuff a basketball or to slam, to dunk. Like dunking donuts, dunk. To dunk, they say, mojar, sí, como mojar churros is to dunk. Okay, remojar, to dunk. Yes, but in basketball, mate, eso es la palabra, yeah. Hacer un mate. Hacer una clavada. I've never heard that. Hacer un mate. All right. It's a dunk shot. A dunk. And often we say a slam dunk. Porque lo hacen, boom, very hard. Lo clavan. All right. It's called a slam dunk. And the Grand Slam. The Grand Slam in tennis. The four famous tennis tournaments, the four majors, we call them the majors, quito major. The four majors are the Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, the Australian Open, and the French Open. In English, we usually say the French Open. We don't say Roland Garros. Here in Spain, everybody says Roland Garros. Right now, we're in the middle of Roland Garros. The French Open. And those are the four tournaments that make up the Grand Slam. Those are the four tournaments. Decimos torneos, tournamentos. O sea, what tournaments make up the Grand Slam? Grand, con D, Slam. Well, it depends on what tournament. Major tournaments. Well, in golf, the Grand Slam is the Masters, the U.S. Open, the British Open, and the PGA. It's a Grand Slam. Losing slam. You know, the word grand, the expression Grand Slam, originally, I'm losing my voice. I'm losing my voice. The Grand Slam originally comes from baseball. Because, as you probably know, in baseball there are three bases and home plate. So there are really four. Where the batter and the catcher are located is called home plate. Literalmente, plato, hogar. O sea, casa. O sea, es casa. Home plate. And then first base, second base, third base, and then home plate again. Those are four bases. Las cuatro bases in baseball. Now, if you manage to reach first base successfully, and the next batter, the same, which means you move to second base, so there's a runner, there's a player, a teammate on first base, and you are on second base. And then the next player manages to reach first base, and the other, and you and the other players advance. So there are players on first base, second base, and third base. We don't say players, we say runners, corredores. They're runners on first, second, and third. So we say the bases are loaded. Las bases están cargadas. The bases are loaded. Now the next batter who comes to home plate to batear, if he hits a home run, which means to hit the ball over the fence, well, in fair territory, not in foul. No fuera de juego. Dentro de juego. We say in fair territory. Foul territory and fair territory. It's interesting the terminology they use in baseball. Then it's a grand slam. 4 points. 4 runs. We don't use the word points. Puntos. We say runs. Like in football, you say marcar goles. No marcar puntos. So, but you say, and so 4 runs, it's a grand slam. And so that word has been used for any time there are four. There are four majors in tennis. Australian, French, U.S. Open, and the Wimbledon. There are four. Like the grand slam is 4 points or 4 runs. In golf as well, the big four, the grand slam. The PGA. And in others, I'm not sure. The Grand Slam and other events. But it's always when there are four. We say the Grand Slam. So, slam. To slam the door means to hit very hard. And so the Grand Slam means la pegada por antonomasia. Figuradamente, in tennis and golf as well. The major. We say the majors. What are the majors in golf? Well, the PGA, the U.S. Open, the British Open, and the Masters. Those are the four majors. What are the four majors in tennis? I repeat, the four majors are Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, the Australian Open, and the French Open. Those are the four majors. Majors. Okay. Slams. But it's interesting about, you know, what's fun to read. Articulo, let's see. Sobre baseball in Santo Domingo. Let me see if I can find a good article. All right. It's interesting. The language they use in the Dominican Republic about baseball is really interesting. Yes, it's really interesting. And so they have terminología de baseball in the Dominican Republic, in La República Dominicana. Let's see if we can... Because it's fun to read. Lengua y baseball. I'm going to try to find this. Let's see. If I can... Oh, if I can find some of the... Shortstop, right field. El dugout for the dugout. There's a lot of strange. I'm going to have to go to a newspaper. Yes. Baseball. Periódico. Dominicano. Maybe I can find it. So let's see if we can find some baseball. Artículos de baseball. Listín diario. All right, we'll find an article. Okay, we'll find an article. Christian Yelich bateó su segundo cuadrangular de la temporada. Un garrotazo de tres carreras en el tercer episodio para que los cerveceros de Milwaukee vencieran el jueves a los Diamondbacks. All right. Let's see. Jackie Bradley, el mexicano y el mexicano Luis Urías y el venezolano dispararon también sendos jorrones por los cerveceros. El bambinazo de Urías fue su segundo en el mismo número de juegos y llegó el día en que cumplió 24 años. Okay. Carson Kelly conectó un cuadrangular de dos carreras por Arizona que dejó a 14 hombres suspirando en los senderos. Los cerveceros comenzaron el jueves bateando apenas para 0,211 y ubicados en el 29 puesto entre los 30 clubes de las mayores. Solo delante de Seattle. All right. Ahora Milwaukee suma 9 jonrones en sus últimos 2 duelos. All right. Y fueron superados por 13-7 en el rubro de hits. All right. It's incredible. They have created a completely different set of Spanish vocabulary for baseball. Jonrón, un jonrón. Jonrón is a home run. Carrera hasta casa. Home run. Un jonrón. Con J. Jonrones. 2 home runs, 2 jonrones. Un cuadrangular, I have no idea what it is. I have no idea. And if I go into word reference, it probably will not give it to me. Cuadrangular. Cuadrangular. See if I can find it. Nope. I can't find it. If I go to the Spanish section, maybe I can find it. Cuadrangular. And I spelled it wrong, so I have to start all over again. Cuadrangular. Quadrangular. Four-sided, but it doesn't... A home run. Anda, un jonrón también es un cuadrangular. Ha pegado un cuadrangular. Llevo 30 cuadrangulares en lo que va de temporada. Interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. I love it. I love... yes, Stallings, un bateador, bateó después de un doble al jardín. Al jardín izquierdo. All right. Y los Marlins sufrieron su sexta derrota consecutiva. All right. So, interesting stuff. El jardín izquierdo. That's the left field. All right. He hit a double to left field. All right. Stallings hit a double to left field. All right. Bateó un doble al jardín izquierdo. I'm surprised they don't say campo izquierdo. I'm surprised they don't say that. Interesting stuff. Good stuff. I like that. I like when they, at least they make an effort to Spanishize the un cuadrangular. It makes sense. Going around the four bases. No es un triangular, that would be a triple, un triple. But nevertheless, let's continue. All right, slide. Slipping and sliding, resbalando y deslizando. Slipping and sliding. If you're walking on a skating rink, to skate. Do you know how to skate? To skate is patinar. We have roller skates and ice skates. Roller skates and ice skates. I was a good roller skater when I was 8 years old. I was really, really good. I was one of the best. I was the best in my roller skating rink on South Main. South Main. La Calle Mayor Sur. South Main. I went to a... It's no longer there. Every time I go back to Houston and drive along South Main, I check. I look. It's not there anymore. It was a big building with a skating rink, pista de patinaje sobre ruedas. It was a big skating rink, indoor, and it was always full of kids my age. You know, 7 years old, 8 years old, 9, 10, sometimes 13, the big boys. And I was the fastest for the 8 years old, 8 year olds. So, it was fun. It was fun. Ice skating, roller skating. But then I learned, when I went to Tulsa, where it snows a lot in the winter, I learned how to ice skate. But I never became a good ice skater. Never. Because I didn't go very often. And besides, I was older. I was 11, 12 years old. And so the kiddie stuff, it was a bit different. But nevertheless, to skate is patinar. Now, you use the verb patinar in Spanish for other ways. In other things, el coche patinó sobre el hielo. In that case, we use the verb to skid. S-K-I-D. So we have four verbs. Skate, skid, slip, and slide. And they all are based on a similar type of phenomenon, which is deslizando sobre una superficie sin agarre, sin tener agarre, without having the ability to, I don't know how to say agarre in English. You know, sometimes my Spanish is richer than my English. Let's see. Agarre. Grip. Okay, grip. Yeah. Without getting grip on the ground, taking root, getting a grip. Grip is un asa, de asar, de asir. So, without getting grip. But it's interesting, and it's strange that all four of these words, and they have different meanings, really, but based on a similar phenomenon of, they all start with an S, followed by a consonant. Slip, slide, skate, and skid. All right, skid. Skid is when a car loses control and the brakes and the car moves sliding. When it says lice el coche, cuando patina, we say to skid. So when the police come, if there's an important traffic accident, perhaps with fatalities or deaths, the police come and they investigate the scene of the accident. And one of the things they do is to investigate the skid marks. S-K-I-D. Skid. Derrapar, patinar. The skid marks. Now, anti-skid is antideslizante. Anti-skid. But the skid marks, so they come and look at those on the pavement, on the asphalt, to make sure, or try to figure out what really happened, the skid marks. And I can't find skid marks here. Yes, here it is. Skid marks. Yes. How do you say skid marks in Spanish? I mean the kind a tire makes on the road. I've read the following suggestions. Huella de un patinazo. Huellas de derrape. All right. What's the term used in Mexico? En México no lo sé, pero en España skidmark se conoce. Bueno, en México no lo sé, pero skidmark se conoce como marcas de derrape. Skid marks, to skid. Now, it's interesting about the word skid, because we have another expression called skid row. And skid row is el barrio marginal. Donde skid row is where the homeless are living. Skid row. Skid row is where the homeless, donde están los sin techo, con sus tiendas de campaña o lo que sea. That's Skid Row. It's a place where a lot of drunks, they live outside, they don't have a house. Skid Row. Row como fila. Here, but for Skid Row, it says rancherío. That must be urban slang in the U.S. Zona de Chabolas, barrio marginal. Okay, Skid Row. But really, it's just la zona donde están los sin techo, viviendo al aire libre. Usually a dirty place. Some of them are drunk. Sad. But that's Skid Row. So we're using the word skid. Now slide. Slide is deslizar porque quieres. Slide. Usually because you want to slide. In fact, un tobogán is called a slide. So you climb to the top of the slide. You sit down and you slide down. You slide down the slide. Y es inevitable la redundancia. Ir deslizando tobogán abajo. That's to slide down the slide. When my family moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma, when I had just turned 9, within half a year, my father joined Southern Hills Country Club, a very elite, high-class country club in Tulsa, with one of the most impressive golf courses in the world. A beautiful clubhouse for all kinds of activities and events. Fantastic swimming pool. And the reason my father joined it was because he was the head of New York Life Insurance Company, and so it was a corporate membership. A corporate membership. Afiliación pagado por la empresa de mi padre. Because it was important for my father to rub shoulders with the elite. To rub shoulders, codearse con la elite de Tulsa. And the elite in Tulsa was among the richest people in the world, by the way. In fact, at that time, in 1960, the richest man in the world was a Tulsa man. You say, who was the richest man in the world in 1960? It was J. Paul Getty, probably, in 1960. List of the richest people in history. Yes. John Paul Getty, J. Paul Getty. All right. His headquarters are in Los Angeles, but he's a Tulsa boy. And so you had, because of the oil, Tulsa is a city that was built on oil. J. Paul Getty. Born in 1892. And he was born in Minneapolis, Minnesota. But he went to Tulsa. And that's where he went to Bartlesville, Oklahoma, just north of Tulsa. And that's where he made his fortune. So it's very rich. So we belong to that country club, Southern Hills. Colinas Sureñas. Southern Hills Country Club. If you go into Google Images and write Southern Hills Country Club, Southern Hills Country Club, you will see the pictures. And you'll see it's a beautiful place. The pictures are usually of the golf course. But if you put Southern Hills Country Club swimming pool, then you can see the swimming area. And that's where I spent a lot of time. Well, I spent time on both, playing golf and swimming. But there was an enormous slide, maybe 10 meters of slide. And I remember when I was 10 years old, I climbed up to the top of that slide and slid down probably 100 times a day. 100 times a day. And so, slide. So slide is deslizar. Pero deslizar porque uno quiere. Sliding down a hill on snow, on a sled. A sled. I'm looking at the pictures of the swimming pool in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in the Southern Hills. But the golf course is even more beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And thank God, well, it's nice, although I didn't like the people. I had the opportunity to come in contact with a lot of rich people in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And my conclusion was that most of them were not very pleasant people. I didn't like them. They were too snotty. Too snotty. Snotty, S-N-O-T-T-Y. Viene la palabra mocos. Dice mocoso, pero es presumido arrogante. They were stuck up, conceited, snotty, arrogant. A lot of them. And ever since that experience when I was young, I've found that among people who are wealthy. But I have to go. It's time for me to go. Have a great evening and see you tomorrow.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado.